You're listening to The Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Luxury Lifestyle Design Radio, Episode 78, Freedom from Your 9-to-5 with Julie Merritt.
Aloha, and welcome to The Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio. Productively live and work from anywhere in the world. Now, here's your host, Erica Duran.
Aloha e komo mai. Welcome to the Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Luxury Lifestyle Design Radio, Episode 78, Freedom from Your 9-to-5 with Julie Merritt. I'm broadcasting from the Palazzo in Las Vegas, Nevada, and we're overlooking the massive pool area at the Wynn Las Vegas just next door, and their massive golf course that looks as though it takes up a few city blocks. A few weeks ago, I was on yet another video summit. It truly is summit season. As soon as summer was over, I just received invitation after invitation for these summits. Now, when I was an expert guest on this summit, the Freedom from Your 9-to-5 summit with Julie, I just remember how detailed she was in wanting to know the exact steps and not a bunch of sound bites or fluff or anything like that. And it was really such a joy to work with her. Now, we talked about a lot of things in this rather short interview. So some of the things we talked about were the benefit of working with high-end clients for both you and your client's sake, how to create your high-end packages, how trying to identify the perfect target market can be a type of procrastination, how identifying your perfect target market and how to reach them, how to make the money shifts you need, and how to make the mindset changes you need to, the power of market research, and just a 15-minute phone call. All this and more is coming up in just a few minutes, but first, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor. Want to design your own freedom-based luxury lifestyle? To get started, you can apply for my complimentary Aloha Strategy Session. Aloha, I'm Erica Duran, a freedom-based luxury lifestyle designer and high-level business coach and mentor. This complimentary Aloha Strategy Session is right for you if you're tired of piecing together all that free stuff online and you're ready to implement your own systems and unique way of living and working. You desire to work productively from anywhere in the world and achieve that laptop lifestyle, but you don't want to spend all your time chained to your desk. And you're so done being baffled by technology. You want to earn at least $5,000 to $20,000 per month consistently in your consulting, coaching, training, or other entrepreneurial venture. You see other people charging premium prices for their programs and services, and you just can't seem to crack that code. You desire a high-level coach to peel back the curtain and share all her secrets. Does any of this sound like you? If so, I'd love to invite you to take advantage of this limited time offer today and apply for your complimentary Aloha Strategy Session with me by going to ericaduran.co/aloha. A lifestyle of freedom and luxury is waiting for you, so let's not waste any time. Never settle. Mahalo.
Want to partner with me? Would you like to get your business showcased in front of thousands of productive-minded lifestyle entrepreneurs and travelers? Why not become a sponsor of The Erica Duran Show, Freedom-Based Lifestyle Design Radio? Go to ericaduran.co/sponsor to see if this partnership is right for you. Mahalo.
Hi there, guys, and welcome to today's episode of Freedom from Your 9-to-5. I have the amazing privilege of introducing you to the awesome Erica today. This is where I say I have been following this lady for a little while. She's one of those people who, when I was debating on how I could increase the income in my business, it was her freebies, her opt-ins that came past my way. And I have to say she has an amazing message that she shares with people. So, Erica, how would you describe yourself?
Myself, well, probably a little bit of a not rule follower, probably. I really like helping people get the lifestyle that they want and not kind of in that I don't like when people are in that automatic zone, when they go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch TV, do it all over again the next day. Like that drove me crazy, and I just want better for other people.
Absolutely. So Erica has this message around getting hold of working with high-end clients. So all of us, well, not all of us, but I think a lot of us start off with the idea that you need to start off kind of like with low prices and kind of slowly, kind of like it with a swimming pool, slowly go in deeper, raise your prices a little bit and go in deeper. But you have a different way, a different perspective on this.
Yeah, there's a few things with that. One is, in order for people to get the lifestyle that they really dream about, and we only go around once, as far as I know, we only go around once on this earth. So in order for them to get the lifestyle that they want to live, they need to charge higher prices to get that. Plus, having the balance of the time off is really important. So charging higher prices allows you to not chase clients so much, chase the calendar so much, and allows you to have the lifestyle that you want. But on the other hand, it really does serve the client, because most service-based entrepreneurs I work with, you can't do much in an hour session. Like there, if you're working with health, relationships, weight, business, like what can you really do in 1 hour? Even my professional organizer clients, what can you really do? You're not really serving them or yourself with having these little 1 hour sessions with people. That's great if you're in a maintenance mode with some clients, or they just need a few hours to get back on track. But for most of us in this service-based or transformational space, you need more than an hour with people. And then that's so it serves the client and you, because you can pour everything into them and you're not worried about paying your rent and so forth. The other thing with that is that these high-end clients are not unicorns. They're everywhere. And it's just the way that you package up your services and do your branding, marketing, and messaging that's going to make all the difference. Don't be afraid, like, where am I going to find these people? They're just all over. And it's just when your message and your service matches with what they need or want, you'll be able to sell them.
So the question then is, how do you create a package that meets these their high needs?
Right. Well, most entrepreneurs I know, when they start off or they're in their job dreaming about being an entrepreneur, they do a whole lot of brainstorming and a whole lot of idea generation and all that stuff. And that's great. But in the real world, it's kind of a waste of time, I think. You can have the most brilliant idea ever, but if the people that you're attracting don't jive with that, or they have another agenda, then you just completely miss the mark and wasted your time and struggled. So I prefer people to either study the target market that's already coming to them naturally, like your friends, family, coworkers, like what are people naturally seeking you out for, or just going out and claiming a target market, but then studying them. So there's kind of two ways. I don't think you should spend years, you know, working on your avatar and writing, you know, they have two dogs and a picket fence and three kids and they went to college. And I mean, all those demographics and things are cool, but I see a lot of people using that as an excuse to not get to the work for real and not start making money for real. They're caught up in this whole target market avatar thing. So look who's naturally coming to you. And then also you can just go out and claim a target market and then study them and then figure out what they need. I just don't like people using that as a procrastination tool.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so easy when you're kind of thinking about who you could work with to kind of get really bogged down by it. So the question is, what are the key things you need to look at when you're doing this studying?
Yeah, I would look at how you like to work and who you want to work with, which is a little different than you might have heard before, but there's billions of people on this planet. You can claim who you want to work with and the type of people that are ideal for you. You don't have to just take whoever shows up. And I think that's that power of not having a needy, grabby way about yourself is probably going to serve you as well in getting the higher end clients.
So that kind of sense that you have that confidence, that kind of, I'm in the right place, this is who I am, and this is what I offer, kind of is being really, really important.
Yeah, and this is how I like to work, this is who I work with, this is what I enjoy, because we start these businesses not to be miserable all the time and not to have these problem clients. And your problem clients are probably ideal clients for someone else. So just getting that to that decision and kind of cutting off the limbs of the other things that could bring you money, but they're just not ideal people for you in particular to work with. And the fact is that there's plenty of people out there. You can claim who you want to work with. You don't have to settle for people that are going to drag you down, because it's all connected. And when you start getting exhausted by clients, you're exhausted and they drain you, and then you don't do your marketing because you're exhausted, and you don't show up well on interviews like this because you're exhausted. So it's all connected with you picking the way you want to live and who you want to work with and how you want your business to be set up. Also taking things into consideration, like, do you want to be high tech and low touch, or do you want a lot of one-on-one clients, or do you want volume but a lower price point? Like, you can make multiple six figures in several ways. You just have to pick one and choose one.
Do you have a recommendation of which one works best, or is it just horses for courses?
If people are starting out from no entrepreneur background or experience, I do suggest one-to-one services as much as possible in the beginning, so that you learn how you like to work and learn who you'd like to work with. And then from there, you can figure out the rest of it. For example, I did years of one-to-one work, and now I'm using everything I've learned from those one-to-one clients in a group program. So I'm leveraging my time, but I'm still using, I mean, my past clients practically wrote this program for me. I didn't have to work very hard to write the program.
So just thinking about that, this, how would you recommend kind of going around program design for people?
Yeah, I do recommend that they work one-to-one with people and pay close attention to the questions that come up, the concerns that come up, how you explain things to people, and put it together that way based on your one-to-ones. That's the easiest way. I've put months and months and months into a program that I just thought up and didn't really use my clients as, I guess, guinea pigs. I didn't really use them. I just, I want to teach this, and here's the five steps to this, and this is how you do it, and no one bought it. No one cared. So, you know, this program that I'm doing now based on my one-to-one work is selling really well. So I that's just my pet preference, I guess, is doing it that way. But it just made my life so much easier.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's really amazing when you hit that flow, when you hit that kind of, the clients actually telling you what it is that they want to be doing, and you just kind of, life becomes easy and it becomes smooth. But right. I guess the question is, so we've got, I'll use myself as an example.
Yeah.
Say, taking back a little while, there I am. I'm still working in my 9-to-5. I'm working basically 5 days a week. I'm thinking, I know that I want to do coaching. I know that I'm good at working with people. I know that the stuff that I'm good at because of my job is thinking about people's mindsets and changing, kind of helping people change the way that they think. What would you be saying is my first step that I need to do to find this first paying client?
I would probably, this goes a little bit against what I just said, but I would look from within, like what program or course would really light you up, instead of looking at all the noise on the internet and on Facebook. Most of us are our own client just a few steps ago. So thinking back to you just a few months ago, write the program from that space. Like, what would I love to do as a customer? And then it usually works out that whatever's within you is going to be attractive to the people that you're attracting naturally. And so when you're new as an entrepreneur and you don't have $10,000 to spend on Facebook ads, you need to use the people that are already coming to you. So they're attracted to you for a reason. So looking from within and you being so excited and lit up for this program because it's exactly what you would have needed. So that's what I would do if you had no data, no market research calls, no Facebook ad money, nothing to start that way and write a program that you would wish was in the world and put a lot of your own personality and quirks into it.
And as far as you can see, is having a program the way forward, or could it be something that's quite unstructured so people pitch up and just kind of they present their problems on that day? Or would you be, in terms of working with people who are high end, would you be suggesting that there needs to be a program, something you sort of a signature course that people are purchasing into?
Right. My one-to-one program are very customized. So I have probably like 50 bullet points in different categories on the sales page. And on their one-to-one calls, I put the responsibility on them that they pick and choose what they want to work on or what questions they have in the one-to-one programs because it's really customized. And I don't know exactly where they're at unless they ask me questions. And a lot of times if I just say, okay, week one, we're going to do this, they're not ready to receive that information yet. So it's a waste of time and energy. So by them coming to the session, and they have a lot of choices that they can pick from that we work on. So I put those ideas in their head, but usually they'll come up with something that's happening right now. So if I'm in week one with someone and I think we should be talking about their target market or their branding or something like that, but they come to me and say, I have a free discovery call tomorrow, what am I going to do? Like we totally focus on that.
Absolutely.
Because that happened yesterday.
Oh yeah, because especially if you're working one-on-one, if you've got that mismatch, it's kind of like they're not going to be coming back.
right. Now the group program is structured, but I do have office hours where they can call in with their one-to-one questions. So it's kind of a group program, but they still get one-to-one help.
So let's think about the money side of high-end courses.
Okay.
And kind of just let's talk money, because I think this is people actually start freaking out about. So what counts would you say as a high-end course in terms of figures?
I mean, it's where you're at, the experience that you have at teaching this kind of stuff or from even your past corporate life. But most of it is confidence and your positioning in the marketplace and your mindset. So I would honestly say over 90% of this is mindset, and the rest is just positioning, marketing, and messaging and target marketing. All that little stuff is probably like 5%. The biggest thing is mindset, of course. It totally shocked me too, because, you know, I thought that I knew, because I was teaching productivity back then, I thought I knew everything about productivity, you know, why aren't people paying me as an expert? Yeah. And it was this total mindset stuff.
So just thinking, I mean, my understanding, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but a lot of people say that high-end tends to start about, say, is a $2,000 course or $1,000 per month, kind of as an individual client. Those are the figures I've heard. Please correct me if I'm wrong. So how do you move your mindset from charging $300 for a course and $50 an hour for your sessions to kind of being able to charge those higher rates?
Right. Well, in the beginning, I mean, $500 for a program was a shocker for me. Like, I couldn't imagine someone paying $500. Now it seems like a joke. So it's that mindset piece. But what's also why I recommend people start with one-to-one clients is because you can up your package rate with every one person that comes to you. So you can start with 500 and try that on, and then the next person up your rates to 1,000, and the next one 2,500, and go up from there. So very slowly, baby steps. But I didn't do that. I was messing around with $50, $100 hour single sessions, and then just kind of cold turkey went for 5,000 on my first higher end program. Just kind of leaped to that
And that was $5,000 for what?
That was a 3-month coaching program, one phone call a week, and email support. It was really simple. And then the one on my website was a big, the $12,500 package that I sold right away was kind of a retainer SEO website kind of work.
And I think that's really important for people to hear is that actually $5,000 feels really, really high when you're not earning, you're not right. selling it. But actually, if people know what's happening, they do pay it.
They do pay it. And I mean, I'll tell you, payment plans help out both sides. They help you with knowing how much cash flow is coming in, and they help the client break up the payments. So I'm a big advocate of payment plans and working with people on, you know, the sale is $5,000. I'm going to put $5,000, you know, worth pour that energy into you, but it could be over a stretch of time, which helps. It's a win-win really for both sides is doing those payment plans or retainers or something like that.
So in terms of the mindset work, do you have any tips or tricks as to how to make that mindset stuff happen?
Yeah, I mean, of course, reading helps a lot, and you can't just, oh, I read Think and Grow Rich, or I read Grow Rich While You Sleep. Like, that's like a Christian saying, I've read the Bible. Like, they don't just read it once. They hear sermons about it. They read it all the time. They sing songs about it. Like, it can't just be, oh, I read that book. It has to be like a daily basis, kind of like you're training for a marathon. Another thing that I work with my clients is, because the mindset is, a lot of it is confidence. So one exercise is to do a life resume where you write down, not like a job resume, but a resume of all the books you've read, all the seminars you've been to, all the TED Talks, everything you've done, like this running list of everything you've done in your life to kind of boost up your confidence a little bit. And honestly, another part is just getting in there and getting out and talking to people. I think with social media and everything, we've lost that. We're talking to a lot of people all day long, but not really because of social media. So meeting people on Facebook or Twitter or something, but then taking it off Facebook, Twitter, anything right away and having a one-to-one phone conversation, even in the name of market research, is going to totally help you gain clarity on what you're good at and what you can help people with, and then also get used to being on the phone again, because that's people's really, with all the texting and everything now, it seems like they're afraid of the phone. And that's really what they need to do to get a client is get on the phone.
Absolutely. It's actually really quite scary, isn't it? That I know that for myself, kind of reading the books that say what you need to do is you need to talk to your ideal client. You need to have a conversation with them. You need to do some market research. And my brain went, yeah, right, put that aside. And I still haven't worked out why my brain was like, nope, not doing that one.
Yeah. And that's the main thing. If you do nothing else, like get on Facebook and try to get on the phone with people. That's the one thing. That's how I got my first 20K weeks in February, was I did nothing but connect with people on Facebook and get them off Facebook on the phone as soon as possible.
And so when you were talking to them, were you doing market research? What were you actually doing? Were they coming for discovery calls? How was it working?
Yeah, half of them were discovery calls and half of them were probably the just market research calls. It's kind of random because I was just like going for it. So it was pretty random. But it's such a huge thing to do, because then when they see you popping up on Facebook or Twitter after that conversation, it's like you really are friends, even though you just had a short phone conversation. It really has a deeper other layer of friendship just by a 15-minute phone call. I did actually 100 market research calls for free just to like be over the phone fear and be over it, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, I know that certainly in preparation for the summit, I've although there's only 21 people who are speaking, I've sent out over 150 mm-hmm. emails to people. The first 10 were horrible. However, by the time 150 came around, it's like, okay, done that, sent that, done Yay. That, sent that. And right. I think that's kind of the one of the big things, isn't it? Kind of doing the quantity is really important.
The quantity is, my podcast was 6 months late because I was just freaking out about the permanency of the episode being up there and everything. And I mean, I did 13 in one day and I was over it. I didn't care anymore. I was over it. It didn't bother me anymore. Whatever microphone, I don't care.
So in terms of your 15-minute market research calls, mm-hmm. what questions were you asking?
I was asking mostly how they wanted their lifestyle or business to look in the future and what was stopping them or struggling them with getting what they wanted in life. So basically it was that. Maybe a few other questions like, do you have trouble with technology? Does technology overwhelm you? A little bit like that, because I have a strong background in technology. So that's one of the things I help people with, not just their marketing and branding, but their website and stuff like that. So I wanted to know if that was a struggle for them. And sometimes I would ask who their target market was just to see what they were going after. I asked them straight up what their income was, what their income level was. You know, it's probably not the right thing to do as far as trying to size them up to see if they could afford a package, but it gave me a good idea of what level people willing to get on a free call with me, it gave me a good idea of what they were making.
And I think all that information is really, really helpful. And as you say, it takes some dedicated work to happen. But once you've done those 100 calls, you have some amazing research and some amazing information about what the problems are that you can address and what you can then put in your packages.
Right. The biggest thing I received, though, from those calls was being able to pick up on their word choice and their languaging and use it in my marketing and my website. So just a quick example. If you were to ask me what my ideal client is struggling with, I would say in these exact words, they're following too many different online gurus. But what they say when I'm on the phone with them is, I'm tired of downloading all these free things online, all these free resources. I'm tired of all the free tools. Like, I would never say, I wouldn't have imagined they would say it that way, but one after all of them were saying it that way, but I would say it as, you're following too many online gurus. Like, just that word choice, that tiny little word choice is huge in my marketing now, of taking what they said exactly and using their words on them. Not on them, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Because the whole point of this is that if you're using your audience's language, whether it be kind of a language style, so whether it's kinesthetic or auditory or kind of what sensory thing it is, or whether it's kind of how they express their overwhelm, it's so incredibly important, because that's when they know that you know them. They know you've kind of stepped beneath that kind of level of kind of advertiser to kind of trusted advisor and friend, haven't you?
Right. And just a really blatant example is, you can ask someone, you know, maybe you're a dating coach and you're asking them who their ideal mate is. And they say, oh, my soulmate and all that stuff. I wouldn't say that. I would say, like, I'm looking for a great travel companion. And so, like, I wouldn't, you know, we use such different words. So those are two totally different markets. If you're a dating coach, you got to pick one, because that is not the same ideal client. One's very more woo-woo and one's very like, I want this.
yeah absolutely. So thinking about kind of somebody starting their business, thinking about their first 90 days in business, what would be the key things that you would be recommending that they do?
Yeah, I would actually suggest that they turn off all their electronics and everything, and actually, if they could get out of town or in a new surrounding whatsoever, even if they're not completely out of town, they're in a new environment, even in their own town, and really decide in the beginning how you want your business, your work day to look, how you want your weekends to look, what types of work you want to do, what types of clients you want to work with, and what would really absolutely light you up to be doing every day, because it might change in the future, but if you just go after some idea that you think is money making or what have you, you're just going to end up giving yourself a job in most cases. So really putting those boundaries around your calendar and your lifestyle elements first is really going to help your whole career as an entrepreneur and not have that burnout, exhaustion, I'm at my computer all day long kind of thing.
Brilliant. That's a really, really useful piece of advice, because actually I think a lot of people get stuck with, this is what I need to do, this is who I need to be, this is who I need to contact, these are the business things that I need to do. But to know that this is about you, this is about your job, this is about avoiding overwhelm.
Right.
So important.
Too many people, when they're a new entrepreneur or when they're in their job and dreaming about entrepreneur, being an entrepreneur, they're just online. Any free moment they have, they're online listening to podcasts, watching YouTube videos, scrolling through Facebook to see who's successful and trying to model them. And it's pretty much a form of procrastination and just avoiding the real work that has to be done, like your market research calls that you avoided for a little bit. If you could never go on Facebook, never listen to a podcast, never watch a YouTube video, but have 30 actual ideal clients, like, that might take you a week and you're done. But these people spend 9 months scrolling through Facebook looking for someone to model and follow instead of just, like, do your freaking calls.
Your audio cut out just when you were saying the number of people to talk to. So how many people did you say?
I said 30. I said that off the top of my head. I would say at least 10 to 20 really formal, like 15 to 30 minute calls where you have the questions laid out and everything. But more is better. I did 100 because I'm all about overkill sometimes. So I did 100.
I'm all for the higher numbers as well, simply because you get so much more out of it. And it's towards the end of it, when you're more comfortable with it, that you end up getting some of the better answers because you're more familiar and you're more comfortable. So you actually put the people that you're talking to at more ease, I think.
Yeah, and you also, even the free market research calls are total training for your sales conversations you're going to have later. So you might as well get comfortable when you're doing free market research calls instead of fumbling and losing sales later. That's a big jump for people too. When they think up their business and don't do the market research, then they start to do their sales calls. Then they're at day one again without that practice. So,
and that's really huge.
Helpful. Yeah.
I'm aware we have done our half an hour. That has that has flown by.
It did. Yeah, it was so much fun.
So you have a free gift for our audience if they want to connect with you further.
I do. I have a little guide for service-based entrepreneurs, and it's called 10 Secrets for Snagging High-Paying Clients. And that's on my website at ericaduran.co.
And you'll find that link just down below the screen here. It'll be the first thing in the top of your description. So that, if that's where you'd like to contact Erica and find out a bit more about her, and as I said, I've been following her for a while, I would highly recommend following her and getting some more information.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
So this is where we have to say goodbye. And I say to you, Erica, thank you so much for being with us. And thank you for all your tips and your tricks. You've got some really interesting things to take away from this and to think about. So I look forward to hearing what you guys have learned from Erica's presentation today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It's been so much fun. And contact me anytime. I'd love to speak with you.
So thank you, guys. You take care. It was good to see you. So I look forward to chatting to you again tomorrow. So take care and we'll talk soon. Bye then.
Pelhana Escape Artist's work is done on this episode. All the links and resources will be waiting for you at ericaduran.co/78. So how many of you are actually going to get out and do your market research now? I hope these tips help you on your path to getting freedom from your 9-to-5. But honestly, the quickest way to get out of that job is working with someone one-to-one that has done it and helped hundreds of others escape the rat race. I'd love to map out your freedom in my complimentary Aloha Strategy session. You can find that in this week's show notes at ericaduran.co/78 or at just simply ericaduran.co/aloha. Ahui ho, until we meet again, sending you aloha.
Thank you for listening to the Erica Duran Show, freedom-based lifestyle design radio. Be sure to go to ericaduran.co to get all of this episode's show notes and resource links. And while you're there, don't forget to subscribe. Never settle. Mahalo.